please step into our office.
Step into our castle.
Exactly. We're in business casual because we're bringing you a treacherous episode today with a special guest who has been called the Duchess of Deception. She's a survivor legend. But before we introduce her, we're going to introduce
Widow
ourselves.
Herself, by the way.
By the way, little tease. I'm Spencer.
And I'm Lexi.
And this is The Rumor Mill, your Gen Z guide to pop culture. Now, we are huge fans of The Traitors on Peacock.
Absolutely amazing show. Iconic. If you haven't watched it, what
are
you doing?
Right now.
Like, binge turn
it.
This off, go watch the show, and then come back.
Absolutely. Because this is going to be very spoiler filled.
Absolutely.
If you haven't seen the reunion and the finale, it's
of
all out on
two.
Peacock.
Yep.
Season two, go watch it. Huge fans. I want to know from you, if you could play the game, would you play as a faithful or a traitor?
I would be honestly fine with either, but I think I would love to be a traitor.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like it'd be fun. It definitely would be very challenging.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like, especially depending on who I was playing with, I would definitely maybe potentially struggle to lie to them. Because
especially
like,
those people you knew.
If it was people that I knew, I'd be like,
or
oh,
were
girl.
Fans of.
Yeah, I'd just be like, I can't even lie to you. I just love you so much.
And when the suspicion's on you,
like yeah.
We could probably like strategically, like we can talk our way out of things. Like we're good talkers. So very much like Phaedra or John in the show, we could use our silver tongues to get ourselves out of a bind. I think the physical challenges would kind of be insane.
I don't have the greatest cardio, so I don't know if I would be.
We need to work out
like
for a
CT sprinting in the final challenge, like down a literal mountain.
That to get like, to the boat, the sails.
No.
I was gonna say like jumping over the rafts to get the gold.
Like, I'd throw up halfway through it. Yeah. Be like, okay, I guess I'm gonna keep going.
Or I would run off like Janelle. I'd be like, where's the shield? I'd be like, you guys get the money. I'm going to grab the shield because I want the camera time. I'm like, that's what's valuable to me.
Oh, my God. Well, anyways, enough about us. We know what you're here for. Let's jump in to the most incredible interview ever with none other than
Parvati Shallow.
Shallow.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
We are so good. Honestly, my boyfriend and I have been watching Traitors nonstop for the last couple weeks, like an episode or two every night. We binge watched it last night to finish up season two. Incredible. Oh my God. Like what a crazy, awesome show. And you're a part of it. Like, oh my God, as such an amazing role.
Big fans.
So thank you for being here.
Oh man, I'm excited to talk to you. With that level of enthusiasm, this is going to be a great conversation.
Oh, absolutely. I'll introduce myself. I'm Spencer.
And I'm Lexi. It's a pleasure to meet you.
We did our best business casual for you today. We were like, let's get some like Scotland going. Only business casual for you.
Yeah, you look great. And also I'm noticing the color theme you've coordinated with the white and the dark up top, down below. Well done.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it must feel amazing coming off of this show. The finale just wrapped. I mean, the reunion came out. You know, it's the number one show, the unscripted show on TV right now. It won an Emmy. Like, everybody's talking about it on social media. What is your reaction? How are you feeling?
Oh, man. I'm just so grateful to have been a part of it. The production, Studio Lambert, who made the show, is absolutely brilliant. And it's been a joy to be a part of the team to create this experience. And then the reaction from the fans blew my mind. I really did not expect such a huge, exciting reaction from people with all the memes and the stories and people wearing headbands and throwing traitors parties. It's been really fun to watch it on social media.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Before you got on and we were sitting here, we were trying to practice our Parvati face, the kind of clenched eyebrow, confused pout, pondering.
Yeah. It's very intense, but it's brilliant.
It is.
It's so iconic.
Look, I wasn't doing that on purpose.
Happy accident, right?
I guess.
And some call you the queen of Survivor. You know, what was harder for you in this game as a traitor? Was it harder losing as a traitor or was it easier winning as a survivor? What would you say?
Well, there's so many ways that I can take that question. There's nothing easy about Survivor. So we'll just start there.
Yeah.
Like zero easy things about that game. But the easier thing to do for me is to not to have to lie so much. So with Survivor, the lies are more selective and time contained. So if you're going to blindside someone, you just don't talk to them that day about what your real plan is. Then they're blindsided and they're out of the game. And you don't have to keep lying to them over and over and over again. That's liberating for me. Playing a traitor, the hardest part for me was knowing that I was lying, and also all these people were onto me, and then having to gaslight them and say like, no, you're wrong. Like, yeah, everything you're thinking is actually true. I'm thinking in my brain, but I am going to tell you you're wrong. And then I'm like, wait, but they know that I'm lying. So then it made me feel even crazier. It was like the crazy making aspect of the lie.
Yeah. Like, are you okay? Like, you seem a little crazy today. Like, why are you on to me? I think it's a you problem, not a me problem. Like, that would,
right.
I would freak out. Yeah, I would just come apart.
It's very intense emotionally, I would imagine.
It's pathological, really.
Yeah. So now maybe you've acquired some skills now you can use in everyday life. You'll just be like, you can just gaslight people all you want now.
Look, I am out of that phase of life. I've been there, done that. I am in a totally different phase in my life now, that, and this is what I said in my circle of truth. And I really meant it. That's what made it so hard to play as a traitor, is like, I have been practicing emotional honesty just for my own life so that I can know which choices are aligned and healthy for me versus, you know, doing what I think other people expect of me or doing what I think I should be doing. So I've been working diligently on truth telling and being able to speak the truth out loud. So not people pleasing, not censoring myself to make someone else feel better. Just like saying what's real for me has been a process and a practice. And I'm at this place in my life where it feels so good to live that way. I won't be going back unless they call me to go back on Traders, and then I'll do it for 3 weeks and then I'll be fine.
There we go. Well, thank you for coming out of retirement for our entertainment purposes. My pleasure. Thank you.
Because we know you were on Survivor and you won Survivor in 2008, and now you're in on the Traitor Show now here in 2024. What has changed kind of in the maybe the filming aspect or recruiting aspect or just the general communication industry, I guess, as far as reality TV as it was then versus as it is now?
Well, I can't speak across the board to every network. I will say what I experienced working with Studio Lampert and with NBC and Peacock for Traitors is a real consideration of our mental health and well-being. So they would just check in consistently. How are you doing? Or is everything okay? Do you need to speak to a therapist? Like, what's happening? Just the psychological support was something that this is very unique, I think, in the reality TV world, because my experience as a reality TV contestant has been you go, you exploit yourself for the good of the show, you maybe make some cash, and it's like a transactional experience. Like, you're giving to get, and you know exactly what you're giving, and you know what you're getting. And this experience with Traitors was just a bit more holistic, and it felt supportive.
That's awesome.
Which
That's
is really new cool. in reality TV, that kind of conversation of mental health and reality stars and that kind of transactional process is definitely a current conversation. So it's nice to see that that was also current on the show.
Yeah, man, I think it's really vital because I think a lot of people who play these games are young, you know, and if it's your first time playing this reality show and you're young, you're in your 20s, you don't really have your identity established yet, it's very easy to get caught up in what other people think of you. Like, if you're criticized by the public, you can feel really bad about yourself, and that can start to lead to some unhealthy choices in life. So I'm glad to see that the mental health of the contestants is being considered, and I do hope that is like a trending thing that keeps growing across all the networks. I don't know, but we can hope.
Yeah, we can hope.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
To bring you back into that universe, if you could put yourself into MJ's shoes, would you feel, I guess as Trishelle is calling her, bitter about her and CT eliminating her at the last minute at the Fire of Truth? What would your reaction have been if you were in her shoes? She was definitely pretty upset at the reunion. It was a little hard to watch because she played a good game and like right at the last minute, like you've made it and then you're out.
I would be pissed if I was MJ. And I also think MJ's anger is a bit misdirected because the person that she should be angry with is CT and herself, because it looked like, from an audience perspective, because I wasn't there, it looked like Trishelle was voting CT. So if MJ would have also voted CT, MJ would have won alongside Trishelle. But when they voted again, Trishel then changed her vote and voted MJ because CT was like, I'm not voting for you, Trishel. And MJ didn't want to vote CT. So it just seemed like it was a big mess at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with traitors is like, and that's the thing you've got to process. Like, she has every right to feel whatever she's feeling. And everyone does, right? Like, you, emotions are just your right to have them. And she has, like, what needs to happen is just a little forgiveness and some grace around the mess and chaos that's inherent in this game, because nobody knows anything and the game runs on paranoia and suspicion. So even when you're having a conversation with someone who you're like, okay, I 100% I think this person is telling the truth, you don't really know for sure.
Yeah.
So like, Trishel voting for CT at the end is like, I think, I don't know if it was just out of sheer terror and paranoia that she's lasted this far in the game. And if she gets bamboozled by this guy at the end, she's going to be so mad and look so stupid. Well, better to get rid of him and be safe than to look stupid and lose.
Yeah.
Trusting someone you shouldn't have trusted. So it's, they all were just like in a spiral, a spin cycle of chaos.
Yeah.
So you can't really think straight.
It was crazy. Yeah. I audibly gasped. Like, she turned around and said, CT, I gasped. Like, there are so few shows now that you sit and it's just so compelling. And I think that's what's so water cooler moment or special about The Traitors, is that it's so compelling. Like, you have to sit there with your mouth open and pick it up off the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this season did appear to be very clicky, with the Real Housewives and Gamers forming alliances with their respective, you know, former competitors or castmates, like how the Peter Pals, as Phaedra called them, worked hard to sway the majority in the castle, which was very iconic. That was very hilarious to watch. Were the cliques as intense off camera as they appear to be on camera?
No.
No.
Fair enough.
No, they weren't. Like, everyone was kind of mingling with each other. But once it was game time to talk, there were certain people who really trusted each other and stuck together. And the Bravo women, I think they have a solidarity, because it's like a trauma bond. What they've gone through is like deeply traumatizing and intense and chaotic. So for them to, it's just natural to gravitate towards people that you think, feel, can identify with what you've gone through. And then inside of these games, loyalty is a lever. So people will use that and they'll be like, all right, I feel safe with you, I'll stay loyal to you. And it's hard to break that. It really is. Like, people hold that value of loyalty very strongly.
Yeah.
Unless you play multiple iterations of these games, it's a hard one to drop.
Yeah,
for sure.
I can see that.
Yeah. If you had known, speaking of loyalty, if you had known that Peter was going to say no to becoming a traitor, who would you have recruited instead?
Oh, well, I would have. I was thinking about recruiting Sandra at that time.
Really?
And she was upset at the reunion that
she wanted
didn't.
To be recruited so bad. Yeah.
I was nervous that Sandra would just go along with the majority and vote me out, because that's her style. So I was like, I don't know, it's so risky to bring Sandra in, because she doesn't have that loyalty factor. Like, she doesn't, she's going to do what works best for
her. Yeah, she's a hard game player.
Yeah, and that's great for her. That works for her. But I was like, well, I don't know if I trust her.
Love that for her, hate it for me. Yeah. And her elimination was a little bit of an upset. And she had even admitted, she's like, even if I was a traitor, like, I'd be happy to see a faithful go home, because it's just another person gone closer to that prize pot. So I think you made a smart move.
Yes, thank you. So would have either been maybe her, or maybe Kate. I don't know. I was also thinking Kate too. I told Phaedra she should recruit Kate if I wasn't there, because everyone already kind of suspected her a little bit.
And look at that, she did.
All you need is just a little suspicion.
Yeah. Now, you were recently on Johnny Banana's podcast, and you were kind of recapping and rehashing everything that had happened. Tamara was a little bit upset about something that you said on that podcast, which was that you said that she was looking for her 15 minutes of fame out of doing a podcast about The Traitors. She clapped back on Twitter and misspelled your name as Poverty. And she said, quote, "Who is Poverty anyways?" What is your response?
I talked to Tamara about it. I apologized to her, because it wasn't nice of me to say that. And sometimes my mouth goes off without a filter. And I told her, I'm sorry. Like, it really, I like Tamara. I don't have an issue with her. So I think we've moved on beyond that.
Squash the beef. Yeah. Tamara and Johnny were both people that I thought would have gone farther in the game. There were quite a few people, even Janelle, that I would have thought would have lasted longer. Like people like MJ and John that really flew under the radar were pretty smart game players to do that, even though it kind of, it didn't work out in Dan's favor to do that. It worked well for other people. So it was so interesting to see everybody's like personal strategies and like, that's why I think it was so compelling, because you root for your favorites, even like you as a traitor, Dan as a traitor. Like I was sitting there, I even knew you were a traitor, but I was rooting for you. I was like, pick somebody else, leave her alone.
Yeah. Isn't that funny about this game? It kind of blurs the lines between good and bad. And that's why I think people can do very well in this game with when they drop the need to be perceived as good or bad. And I think a lot of the men towards the end were getting really caught up in that label of being seen as a good guy, being morally superior because they're faithfuls and they would die on their sword before they become a traitor. And I think that's Peter's downfall, was that he didn't swap and become a traitor and just kept gunning for me so hard. It's like, if you're able to kind of hold it lightly, that this is so silly and theatrical, it's so campy, you're going to do things that are bad, even if you are a good, quote unquote, good guy or a faithful, you're going to be lying just like the traitors are lying. But they like justified it in their mind as like a righteous lie.
Yeah.
The ends justifies the means, so to speak.
Yeah. And I'm like, there's no good or bad here. It's just, it's crazy making to be a traitor if you don't have that mentality of gaslighting and lying to people day to day in your life.
Yeah.
But I think there's no like necessarily villain or hero in this game.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We kind of touched on a little bit before, but as far as the actual traitors game itself, because the physical challenges, some of them were really intense.
I mean, you had water challenges, fire, digging, escape room, like
what
was crazy.
Bugs falling on your head. Ugh. Like what is for you, what was more challenging? Was it the mental gymnastics of trying to be kind of manipulative, so to speak, or was it actually just like getting out there and just doing hard physical work?
Give me a challenge any day of the week. The escape room challenge was terrifying because I'm really claustrophobic. So being in a tunnel with someone in front of me and someone behind me and it's dark and there's rats and bugs, that was a panic-inducing moment.
Yeah. Absolutely nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
But beyond that, no, the psychological aspect of the show was really hard and you're not sleeping. It was really intense.
It was tough. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I don't know if maybe you had or any of the other cast members, if you know, if any of them, any of the cast of season two had previously seen season one, and do you think that that maybe foreknowledge of how the game is played impacted how people were playing the game in your season?
Oh yeah, most everyone I think had watched at least one season, at least the US season. And Sandra had watched every single season that was available and knew all the different twists and turns that could occur. She's seen them. So it was really fun to hear her take. I mean, there was one moment where Bergie comes into breakfast after he's shielded when, you know, we misfired.
Yeah.
And Sandra stands up at breakfast and she's like, Bergie's the killer. I saw this happen on Australian traders. They did this. They fake shielded one of their own. It's Bergie. And we're just like, oh my God.
That's wild.
She knew. In her heart, she knew. she broke the fourth wall. She had to get it out there.
She's like standing up screaming this. Yeah. That's awesome. I think that's what's so fun about this game is that it is being played on different continents.
Yeah.
You can see how different people play in different cultures. And I just think it's a blast.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see what happens next season.
Yeah, speaking of next season, Time Magazine is already speculating who should be cast for the Traitor season 3. Who could you see joining, and would you ever pull a Kate and return for another round?
I would love to see my partner, May Martin, play traitors, because May would be so, I think, an incredible traitor. People who have the capacity to improv, like comedians, like Bowen Yang, Matt Rogers, those guys, they would be amazing on this show because that's what you have to do. You have to kind of embody this character and play this game from that level, I think, to make it entertaining and to win. So I would throw the comedians into the game. And I would, yeah, I would go back and play. I wouldn't want to come in the way Kate came in the middle of the game. I would want to do a season where it would be all returning players, like Phaedra comes back, Serene comes back. Yeah, so I'm not the most threatening in the group. Like, I don't want the target of the most threatening one.
Yeah.
So that'd be very interesting.
Have a few more seasons go, and let's see who kind of rises to the top, and then we'll play again.
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome. I'm ready for I love that right now. Like, already, I'm like, can we just, like, fast forward through time so we can just, like, I need that on my TV. I need to stream it right now. Yes. That'd be so cool.
We'll get
there. Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Is there anything that you want to plug? Anything that you have coming up that we can
look out for?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what I'm doing right now? Because I was inspired from playing Traitors and from what was going on at the finale, because they were trying to shame me for poisoning Ek and Sue.
Which was amazing.
Like, that was so iconic.
Just like you walking around the castle moment, you're just like, with a chalice, like, who do I poison? TV gold.
I had to do it. I mean, come on.
And you did it well, though. You honestly did. Heartbreaking, but iconic, honestly.
And I have no remorse. It was my mission. I accomplished it. It needed to happen. And that's the way it went down. So I am leading a six-week course with my friend Callie, who's a somatic practitioner coach. And the whole, it's called How Villains Are Made. And it is to help support people who get kind of tripped up by people pleasing, not saying what they really mean, not asking for what they want. So everything I told you, I've been working on for myself personally. And I've been coaching my clients around. We've put in this 6-week course and it's going to be really extraordinary. So if you want, if you're interested or curious, you can look at the link in my bio on Instagram.
Sign us up.
Amazing. That's iconic. I love that. Well, that'll be something we'll definitely look out for.
We hope to see you on our small screen soon again.
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, on the big screen on the TV and hopefully back for another interview sometime soon. But we'll definitely, it was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on. This was something I gagged when he told me. He was like, guess who? And I was like, oh my God. So this has been amazing. So thank you so much for being here. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Please take care of yourself.
Thank you. It was fun talking with you too.
Awesome.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, that was amazing. She is so sweet. I love her. Oh my God.
I mean, that was so incredible. GOAT of Survivor.
Oh, literally. Absolutely.
Did you know that the new season of Survivor just started, season 46? It's been 30 seasons. It's been 30 seasons since Parvati won her season. And there's a girl on the new season. Her name is Venus. Mm-hmm. And they're calling her young Parvati. I'm just like, how legendary of a reality TV
competition player. Your name is still being said still as a relevant. Legendary. Yeah.
30 seasons later.
Amazing. Awesome. Amazing. Wow. Well, thank you so much to Parvati for being on our show. That was so cool.
For being a traitor.
Love her. We love her. Well, if you'd like to see more of us, our cute little podcast that we have, we are The Rumor Mill. We are going to be on pretty much everything. You can find us on Instagram at The Rumor Mill Pod, Twitter at TRM Updates, TikTok at The Rumor Mill, and you can find
YouTube at The Rumor Mill. You can subscribe. You can watch our podcast on YouTube and Spotify. You can listen wherever you get your podcast. We are already so excited for the next season of The Traitors.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Like, I'm down right now. But until then, we will see you next time.
See you next time.